All right, here we go. Woo, that is so much better. All right, well, the reason we did that game is there is a principle called the first 10-minute principle. And this principle basically says that people make a decision to come back to a church within the first 10 minutes, all right? And so we just wanted to, if you didn't get anything out of this message, you'll at least remember that whoever was speaking this weekend ate dead fish and a jelly bean, all right? All right, fantastic. All right, so y'all will remember that. That's the first 10-minute principle. Well, the goal that I have today is that by the time you walk out of these doors, I want your head to be messed up. In a good way, but I want your head to be messed up. I don't want you to walk out of these doors and look at people or situations the same ever again, okay? And this is honestly one of the biggest compliments I think I've gotten through my years of leading guest services. And, you know, when I go throughout and a leader will come to me or a different volunteer will come to me and say, Dave, you know what? You know, all these principles that you've kind of taught us and showed us, I'm telling you, man, they have messed me up. You know, every single time I go out to a restaurant or a grocery store or even when I'm home, it's like I can't act the same anymore. It's like I'm looking for the opportunity to make somebody's day. Like I just want to stand there and just open the door for every single person. You know, I want to be able to create value in somebody. And man, wow, what a compliment that is. Because I love when it's just not something we do here, but when it seeps into every facet of our life. That's what I think when the Bible talks about that we are marked by something different. That is that different thing, okay? And so I love that. So just to get you prepared, this is a topic that I'm passionate about. I love. I'm going to give you some examples. But just know, I got a lot of information, so y'all just go ahead and buckle your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. All right? Everybody ready? Everybody ready this morning? All right? All right. Let's do this thing. All right. So when I was talking with the staff and some of the key leaders, the more that I talked with them, the more they said, you know, Dave, every single time I hear you go through a guest service training, I can't help but I just feel inspired. I feel like I just want to go out and help somebody or do something. So they really encouraged me to go through some way, some form or fashion, go through what you do with all your volunteers. So I'm going to give you one of those principles this morning. I'm going to highlight one of the things that we talk about. And two things that I'm hoping is I want it to get inside of who you are, the DNA of who you are as a person. And like I said, when you walk out of these doors, you're going to be a changed person. You can't look at people the same. And the second thing I want to do is I want to get to the heart of the issue. The Bible specifically talks about there's an internal motivation of why we do this. And so I want to show you that where that is in Scripture. But I'm going to start off with this, what I call the wow tier system. And we're going to start off at a basic level here. The first rung of the ladder is basic. And I'm going to put a lot of these through the terms of restaurant. I was raised in the restaurant world, put myself through college in the restaurant. And I think it's something we identify. We go to restaurants all the time. So I'm going to put a lot of the examples. I'll correlate them back to church, but I think for example purposes, it'll be great to stay in that vein. And so in the vein of restaurants, the basic level is when we go there, we expect to get food, right? Like you don't expect to go there and get an entire new wardrobe, right? No. If you did, you are really dedicated to that restaurant. I mean, like you really want them to succeed, all right? But no, we go there, and we just have this basic underlying thing of we are going to get food. And we don't physically do this in our head. At least most people don't. Like, there's this checklist of things that we're trying to go off. But every single one of us, no matter where we go, if it's we're meeting somebody for the first time, or we go to a new business, or if it's your first time here, you've done this already. And what it is we are always doing these first impression things. You know, is it checking the boxes of the things that I'm looking for, okay? It doesn't matter where we go. I just do it naturally. And so here's what I want. Y'all know I love some good feedback. I love a good amen. I love a good hallelujah. Just let me know where you guys are, all right? So y'all feel free to do that. But this particular part of the message, I want some feedback from you. I want everybody to be hollering at me, okay? And I'm going to take in all the information. But what I want to do is when I say this word, okay? Balcony, you too. You guys don't get a pass. Y'all got to holler at me too, all right? All right. So when I say this word, I want you to give me the unfiltered, just immediate thing that pops into your head, all right? Everybody on board? All right, let's get a practice round so y'all are ready. Everybody holler, hey Dave, at me.
Hey Dave.
All right, yeah, you're halfway away. Give it to me one more time like you mean it.
Hey Dave.
All right, here we go. All right, when I say this word, give me what you say. Give me what you think. Starbucks.
Coffee.
Frappuccino. Who? Frappuccino. Give me some more. Come on. Y'all holler him.
Expensive.
Bitter. Coffee. Service. Okay, cool. How about when I say the word DMV? Oh, that's not even a word, but it describes it so well. Ugh, long lines, waits. Okay, good. How about when I say the word Chick-fil-A?
Oh,
Chicken, yummy, long lines, quick. My pleasure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, how about the person to your right? No, I'm just kidding. Don't go there. We don't need counseling. We don't need counseling. Let's keep it in church. I'm just kidding. We'll keep it there. But we do. We do this every single where we go. We make these, there's first impressions that's always happening, and we're always having these things kind of come up on our head, whether it's a business, whether it's a first person that we meet for the first time, but we always have this. Then we go to the next rung of the ladder, which is called expected, okay? Expected is this level where we expect our server to be competent, okay? When I go to a restaurant and I order a steak, I expect that they're going to bring a steak. Like, they're not going to bring me chicken, right? All right, if I say sweet tea and they bring me a Coke, we're going to have a problem, all right? But there's a certain level of expectation that I believe when I say, when words come out of my mouth, you will listen to them and bring me what I want, okay? And at the end of the day, this is the level where we are all consumers, and we make choices based off of the service that we receive in all those different areas. Same thing is true here. When you guys walk through the doors, there's a certain level of expectation that you have around this place. And when those aren't met, man, you're starting off in a bad place. And that's why we go overboard in so many areas of our landscape and the excellence that we pursue and making sure this building is clean and the volunteers in different areas and how the cafe is situated up front purposely. You know, all that kind of stuff to set those expectations right off from the get-go. Then you go up to this next level, which is called desire and hope. Love this level because this is where we start getting into the customer service, the guest service kind of a world. Now, to set this up, let me give you the difference between Macy and I. You know, again, I like to order a good steak when I get it. Jant was right. Absolutely love a good steak. Now, what qualifies as a good steak to me is if I can put my ear to it and hear a little bit of a moo, like a moo, like I love it. Yeah, any rare people out there? Rare? Yeah, all right. Like, my favorite thing is steak tartare. Man, give it to me raw. It's amazing. I love it. All right. So, now that some of you guys are nicely disgusted, you know, that's good. Macy, on the other hand, is, if you take her glass, you know, and a full glass of ice would be here, right? Macy likes her ice up here. Like, how she does it, I don't know, but it's like she tries to fit Mount Everest in her cup, and she just wants it extra cold, and she wants you to I'm gonna shake it a little bit to get all the ice like activated. I don't know why she wants that, but that's what she wants. But then she gets aggravated whenever she takes two sips of it and it's gone. And I'm like, well, if you wouldn't put Mount Everest in your cup, you'd get more than two sips. You know what I'm saying? But if we're ever out at a restaurant and that server gets her a full glass of ice and keeps it that way and fills it, she goes, Dave, I don't care how he treated you. He kept up with my drink and you better give him the best tip that you've ever given in your life, you know? So, but we all have these quirks. We all have these desires. We're all uniquely and wonderfully made, which means we're just a weird bunch of people, all right? We all have this stuff inside of us. One area in the church that I absolutely love that does this is our cafe. Sorry, I'm still getting a little dead fish every once in a while, so if you see me pause, it's just disgusting. Y'all need to do that. It's just awful. You need to experience that at least once in your life. But one area that happens in this is our cafe. Now, I want to tell you, if I can just brag on those guys a little bit, they absolutely love serving you. And one of the things I love about the cafe is you guys could be the most ordinary looking person. Y'all could be just, you know, nothing flamboyant, just a, you know, just nice dressed person. And y'all walk up to the counter and become the most sophisticated coffee order that I've ever seen in my entire life. And they'll look at the menu like they're trying to decide, and I'm thinking, there's no way that you didn't know this drink order before you got up there. Like, if you're looking at the menu going, I think I'll have, and this pops out, I think, give me a large double shot, half soy, organic, non-fat, vanilla, organic, gingerbread, latte, extra hot, put the foam in there, give me some whipped cream, make it upside down, and give it some drizzle on top. Like, when it takes you 15 seconds to order your drink, like, that is just, it cracks me up. I'm like, how did that just pop out of you? Like, you are the most sophisticated coffee drinker. Like, I don't even, how many ingredients is that, you know? Good Lord. But I love it. But I just want to tell you guys that those guys absolutely love serving you. And I'm going to go ahead and give you a test. If you can think up the craziest drink, give it to them. They love an opportunity. If they have not made a drink before, man, give it to them. Y'all have heard of the secret menu kind of stuff? Man, I tell you what, challenge them. Give it to them. And let me, in the vein of just bragging on them, of generosity towards just blessing those guys. The difference between, you know, those guys of what those volunteers do in the cafe as opposed to like a Starbucks or a Big B. You know, Starbucks and Big B, they'll get the trickle in. You get like, you know, 5, 6, 7 cars in the drive-thru, maybe 8 or 9 people, you know, so that's a total of what, 15, 16 folks. You know, it's just great. They're backed up, but they're doing good. It may take you about 10 to 15 minutes to get your drink. The thing that these guys do is they get 150 of you guys in 5 minutes. And it gets them excited. They love to be able to do it. When they look up and see a long line, it just absolutely just fires them up. And of any area in the church, I would say those guys are more passionate. They love being able to do it. So if you can, let's just give them a good hand of what it means to them, of the atmosphere. Come on, get a little louder so they know that you're doing it for them. Absolutely. Those guys are awesome. They create such an amazing atmosphere out there, and I know you guys have really just enjoyed. I see someone back there, Deborah. She is just a cheerleader. She is going, yes, yes, I love those guys. Those are awesome. So, all right, so that is the desire and the hope. And really what also starts happening at this level is what's called this common grace splashover effect. And this is where it starts infiltrating every part of your life. This isn't just something that happens here, but because you are a son or daughter of the house, of the church, you begin to get these principles. And what begins to really happen is that you are understanding more of the heart of Jesus. As he gets more and more exposed, it gets deeper inside of you, and you want to start taking it everywhere. And so what happens is you take principles like this and it starts affecting every area of your life. You take it home with you and you want to be the most generous spouse that you can be. You take it to your workplace. You take it to the people that you meet for the first time. When you're at the grocery store, if you're at a restaurant, you want to open doors, or you let somebody cut in line, or the little things that you pay for people just to bless them. You know, it starts infiltrating every aspect of your life. And I love when that happens inside of people. Then you go to this next level, which is called surprising. Okay? Now, let me do a little disclaimer. This restaurant has not paid me to do this. I wish they would. It'd be great if they did, but I'm just a raving fan. You already know where I'm going with this because she works there. Is my favorite restaurant is Hall's Chop House. Yeah, some of y'all already know it. Yeah, absolutely. Y'all already know where I'm going with this. But when you go there, there is no place on the East Coast that I have ever been that their level of service is far superior than anybody else. Their food is absolutely phenomenal. And what I love about them is it's like they send a small army. Like, have you ever been a place where they'll set your food down, and then they'll take like 4 more minutes to bring the other person's food? I'm like, well, now my food's cold, and I've been waiting. I'm trying to be nice here, you know? But no, they send like a whole army, and they put it all down at once, and they don't let dirty dishes kind of hang out. It's one of my pet peeves. I love when I'm done with my plate, I want it gone. I don't want to stare at a nasty dish, you know? So they do that so good. This is the surprising level. What happens at this level is it starts to turn into more of the relationship. It becomes more about relationships. And this is the whole cheers mantra when they begin to know your name. They begin to know who you are a little bit. This is when you go to the restaurant because not only are they doing all the things that you love, all the little desires and quirkiness things that you love about a restaurant, they do that. But then they come in and you get that favorite server that you get, right? You love it. And on top of it, the manager will come over and say, hey, you know what? Appetizer's on me tonight. Or dessert's on me tonight. Or, hey, we're trying out this new dish. Would you mind, you know, taste it and just let me know what you think? It's this whole personal relationship that happens. And so when we go to Halls, Macy and I, if I get our server Piper, I always ask for her because I know that the level of service that I'm going to get, I know that she knows my kids. I know that she's going to ask about Baylor. I know that she's going to ask about the twins. And she's going to read the situation of what do we have going on. I'll never forget not too long ago, we just had twins, and it was our first night out. So family was watching the twins, and so I said, hey, I don't know when we're going to get another one of these, so I'm going to take you to Halls. So we're going to enjoy this night. But it was one of those dinners that if you've ever been as a spouse when you first have kids, you go to dinner, and you're like, hi, my name's Dave. It's nice to meet you. How you doing? You doing good? It was one of those times where we've been so busy with taking care of the twins and the sleepless nights and everything. So it was just a fantastic night. And so Piper, she reads that. And she gives us extra time just to kind of hang out and just look at each other's face. And she's congratulating us about the twins. And that night, she actually blesses us with some appetizers and actually dessert that night just to say, hey, congratulations to you guys. That's awesome. I'm glad you guys get a chance to get out. And so she reads those situations. And that's that level. If you've ever read the book Raving Fan, This is when you become a raving fan. You are literally in a billboard for these places, basically what I'm doing right now for Halls. You know, so, but because they put this inside of you and they've created value now inside of us, and I know what we're going to get when we get there. Another thing that goes at this level is I'll speak around what's called the power of the conversation. And what is so neat about this is I want you guys to never underestimate the power of your story. You'll never know how God will use it. And I tell every single one of our volunteers who are around here, and this is one of my favorite things about working here and spending time with you guys on the weekend, is y'all have the most incredible stories of anybody I've ever seen. There's never one that's the same. And as a city, we are growing like crazy. So people are coming all over the place. And all the new people that are coming on the weekends, I love getting a chance of what brought you to the city, finding out about you, and seeing what your story is. And I love to see when that person who doesn't think their story has a lot of impact, and all of a sudden they get on a team and they start serving, they start getting involved in all these different areas, and there comes a day where God sends somebody who has such a similar story but is in the middle of something that's really hard for them. And then God uses your story to be able to affect them and bring them through that storm, all right? So never underestimate the power of your story. But the whole essence of this power of conversation stems out of a conversation that J.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis had together. Tolkien was the Christian, and Lewis was a staunch atheist. And y'all all know their writings. Tolkien did Lord of the Rings, and C.S. Lewis did Narnia and all that kind of stuff. But through the power of a conversation that Tolkien had with Lewis, and not pressuring, not doing all this kind of stuff, they had a love for writing, they had a love for mythology, and through months and months of conversation, there came a day where Lewis said, "Hey, you know what? Tell me about this God that you incorporate into your stories." And so he starts working, he starts talking about him, starts doing it. And then there came a day where Lewis said, "You know what? I think I believe in this." And he starts going to church and starts getting this thing inside of him. He's a studier, so he studied God. And slowly but surely changed his belief from being an atheist into a full-blown Christian. And now because of, we can thank Tolkien because we have stuff like Narnia that has come out. And he's been a prolific writer and changing a lot of people's lives because of it. So never doubt the power of the conversation that you can have with anybody and everybody. I love it's one of those things that when we actually sit down and take the time to slow us a little bit. We live in a very fast-paced culture. But even to the point of using what we have today, I love nothing more than when God places something inside of me and says, "Hey, you know what? Just puts a name inside of my head." And I don't know why. I don't know what it is. But he can say, "You know, Chris comes to my mind." So instead of just letting that, we've all had that happen before where someone, you just start thinking about somebody. So instead of letting those just kind of float on by, "No, I want to call Chris. I want to take the time and say, obviously, maybe God's up to something." And so I call Chris and I say, "Chris, you know what? I don't know. I really don't have a reason for calling. You're just on my head, you know? And so I just wanted to let you know that I'm thinking about you and praying for you." Not a big deal, but who knows what's going on in his life and the impact that because you took 2 seconds just to do it, that's that surprising level of when we actually engage with people on a one-to-one level and put value inside of them, okay? Then we go to the last level, which is wow, where you literally say the word wow. Like, this is absolutely unbelievable. I can't believe I just experienced that, okay? So let me continue the story with Hall's Chop House. We were there with family and friends, having a great time. It was a celebratory night, and again, we had Piper. And Megan and Macy are Pepsi drinkers. Any Pepsi drinkers in the house? All right, they are not a Coke drinking crew. They do not like it. And so they said, "Hey, we'd like a Pepsi." She goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, we're a Coke establishment." She goes, "Actually, no, hold on, I think we got something." What we didn't know and found out later is she actually goes across the street, buys a Pepsi with her own money, and comes back and gives it to Megan and Macy. That's a big deal. That's those wow moments that you're like, wow. She knew that we were celebrating something, and she didn't want to miss an opportunity to make it even extra special. Okay, here's another part. When Macy and I first went to this restaurant, we were low on the totem pole. I mean, it was one of our few anniversaries into our marriage, and so I didn't have a lot of money. I scraped by, but it was important. I wanted to create a great time for her, and so we went there, all right? But we're low on the totem pole. I mean, we're skipping appetizers. We're just doing the main course. I mean, I've had just enough to be able to make that meal happen. So we're there. We're doing it. We're having a great time. Now, on the second floor, what happens is there is a wedding party. They're taking over the entire second floor. I guarantee you, bare minimum, they had to be spending at least $10,000. I mean, they're throwing some money down. Even to the point where they had Scottish bagpipe players coming down the steps that they had, which was fantastic because I didn't have to pay for them and I got to enjoy them. It was really great. Absolutely fantastic. So now you fast forward a couple days and I get a note in the mail from my server, a thank you note from my server just saying, hey, thank you so much for coming in. They recalled an item that we talked about that night and just said, hey, if there's anything that we can do, the Hall family is here for you. Sincerely, Piper. And so she does that. And that's a big deal. Being a server for four and a half years, I don't know when she had time to do that. I don't know about you, but I just didn't, you know, that's not the first thing you do as a server. So that made a really big impact. It is one of those things that really said wow to me. Fast forward even one more day, and I get a call from the owner, and Billy calls and says, hey, man, I heard you and your wife came in. How was your time? I said, man, it was absolutely great. Thank you so much for having a great restaurant. He goes, well, that's fantastic, man. I don't want to take up much of your time. Just want to let you know that you're a part of the Hall family now, and if there's anything that I can do for you, please know that we're here, and I'd love to help you out. Again, I don't know about you. I don't get a call from an owner that often from any kind of business. You know what I'm saying? So it was one of those things that created these wow moments for us. And that's why we go back continually, and I tell everybody that I can, if you want a good restaurant, go to Hall's Chop House. And so let me bring it a little bit closer to home. Two stories real quick is, the first one is, there's a story in the church that goes like this, where there was a lady who was out in our parking lot, and she was out there for a good long while. Her son wanted to come to church, and she was okay with it. He started behaving better, so he's like, hey, yeah, fantastic. You want to go to church? Go, go. Yeah, this is what is happening. Fantastic. So he's coming. But she didn't want to have anything to do with it. So she stays out in her car, stays out there for months and months and months, okay? But during that time period, there's somebody who found her, who saw her just sitting out in her car. It was a gentleman on a shuttle team, and basically he said, you know what, I'm making it my mission that I want to get to know this person. So he knocks on the window, just says, hey, you know, how you doing? Is there anything I can do for you? Small chat stuff, that kind of stuff. Over the time, you know, he makes it a mission to where, whether he's serving or not, he wants to make it a point to get to know this person. So over the long haul, you know, every single weekend, he's bringing her a cup of coffee. Sometimes she actually point blank asks, why are you doing this? Why are you being so nice to me? Well, you're here. I just want to tell you, I want to make sure you're on our property, so I just want to make sure you feel welcomed, you know? And so he just leaves it simple at that. Never pressures her to come in. But who do you think came in those doors 6 months later? That person. Because he knew he had a mission, but through his generosity, through creating value inside of her, saying, hey, you matter, and no matter where you are, your past does not limit your potential, and I don't care where you are in this journey, you are welcome in this place. And because of him, she comes in and now begins a whole journey with Christ. It's amazing stuff. It's this generosity stuff that marks us different as a Christian, that we're known for our generosity. We're known for our love of giving, all right? Another story. Real quick, in-house is, some of you may know him, it's my man Jake Dobson, and he is on Team One and guest services, and he is not a gregarious guy, he's kind of understated, but the thing that I love about Jake is that he has a love and a heart for people. I've had many conversations with him, and most of the time, they're not about him. It's about him being concerned about somebody else, and I just really love the heart of this guy. He's also on our shuttle and parking lot team. And there was a lady who was coming in. You may have heard this story. But there was a lady coming in, and he heard that the tire was going flat as she was driving in. So he follows her in the golf cart, and she gets out of her car, and he simply just says, hey, I noticed that your tire is going flat. Would you mind if I can help you out? And she says, sure. Yeah, that's fine. You can do that. Hey, I know you're going to church, so you just go into church, and I'll help. I'll do this. So she gives him the keys, and he goes to town. What she doesn't know is, I promise you she didn't know, is that she had a special set of lug nuts on those tires. So the one that comes with the one in the car, you know, the one, the little cheap one, that doesn't work. So he's trying doing everything he can. So that doesn't stop him. He's dedicated. He runs down to O'Reilly Auto Parts right down here and buys a brand new set because he wants to make a difference in this lady's life. And he won't let us pay for it. Once I found out, I tried to pay for it. And he wouldn't let it. He said, no, absolutely not. This is something I'm doing. I want to do this for her. Out of the goodness of his heart. And so he does it. He spends the entire service. Now, he's dressed to the nines. It's 100 and something degrees. He's sweating. Yeah, here we go. That's awesome. I didn't know we had that. That's great. So this is him. That's him doing it right there. You can see he's dressed to the nines, sweating like a pig, and just doing it. So he gets it done. He feels accomplished. He finally gets it on the car there. He comes in. He knows roughly where she's sitting. Comes in and says, let me find her. So he finds her, and he gets this little prompting on the inside and says, you know what? Let me just let it kind of sit for a second. Pastor Mike was doing the message, and this was not a weekend where he intended on doing a salvation call. but this was the service that he felt prompted. And he listened and said, you know what, let me do a salvation call. Who do you think rose her hand? That lady back there. Because he took the time and said, you know what, God, you have placed me here. You've given me some gifts and talents. He's a car guy, so he looks, he's kind of minded that way. And he doesn't want to miss an opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life. That is a wow moment. And the thing that I can't wait, the Bible says that when we engage in generous acts like this for an eternal purpose, when we do this kind of stuff, there is 100 times blessing that happens up in heaven. Now, I don't know if you're doing the math with me there, but that's a 10,000% increase. And I specifically cannot wait to get up in heaven because I want to see the treasures that he stored up in heaven because of that one act. It's amazing stuff. It gets inside of us. You're starting to see the heart of a generous person, okay? So here's what I want to do. I want to end by doing this where I want to go through a scripture. And for sake of time, I'm not going to go through the whole chapter. I'm going to give you the Cliff Note version. But this comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this is a letter that Paul writes the Corinthian church. You know, Paul is an apostle, and what apostles basically do is they are church planters. So he has planted churches all over what's considered modern-day Turkey today. So he's writing letters. He pops in from time to time, just making sure they're good, just what you do. You know, if you had businesses in different places, he's just making sure that everybody's doing good. So he calls these guys, or not calls them because they didn't have phones back in that day, believe it or not. But he's sending a letter to these guys, and he's challenging the Corinthian church because the Corinthian church, if they were here in the U.S., literally, they'd be plopped right in the middle of Beverly Hills. I mean, they are rich. They're living in the lap of luxury. Economy is booming. And so I love what he does because he kind of pokes and prods them a little bit because he compares them to another church, the Macedonian church, which are kind of the opposite of the Corinthians. You know, they're going through a really tough time. Their economy is not doing good. They're poverty stricken, really going through a tough time. And he goes, hey, let me compare you to these because let me tell you what these guys are doing. So it kind of piques the ear of the Corinthian church saying, hey, wait a minute. They're going through all that and you want to compare them to us? Whoa, wait, wait. So he got our attention, right? So he's got them there. And what he does is I love in scripture, he actually says this line. He says, out of their most severe trial, talking about the Macedonian church, out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy in their extreme poverty, they welled up in rich generosity. Now, God is, I think, the only person that can put those two words in the same sentence. To have overflowing joy and extreme poverty at the same time. I don't know about you, but that's not the first two words that pop in my head when I got extreme poverty going on, right? And as I read over this, I just want to kind of do a small timeout segment away from generosity. Because I found myself as I was studying, I couldn't get off of this phrase. And I couldn't help but think, you know, there's probably somebody sitting in the room this weekend who says, you know what, I'm in the darkest of days right now. You know, we've had the stories where people literally are, they're here for their last day. And because of what they touch here, something changes inside of them. And what that is just the presence of God saying, hey, no, 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 I'm not done with you yet. So if you're sitting in this room and you're sitting in the darkest of days, you're sitting in extreme poverty, and you're thinking, I don't know how this day is going to end. I can't get through this season. I want you to know that there's a word from the Lord that says there is overflowing joy just around the corner for you. Okay, that there is joy from the God that if you draw close to him, don't give up. Go after that overflowing joy inside of him because God can shed light on your darkest moment. All right, so if that's you out there, I hope you receive it and it just absolutely changed your life. There is joy just around the corner for you. So let me enter back in now. So what I love what he does with the Corinthian church is this, is he says, listen, you guys are amazing. You guys do so many good things. You're so smart. You have so much knowledge. You have so much faith. You have a love for people. But let me remind you, don't forget about this thing that I call generosity. And he compares him back to this Macedonian church. I want you to make sure that you get this thing. And so what he does then is he ends by saying, there's some internal motivations that I want to make sure that as a Corinthian church, y'all don't need to miss it. Okay? So I'm going to give you those 5 things of what's found in scripture around this internal motivation behind the heart of a generous person. All right. So if you're writing them down, write fast. I'm gonna run through them pretty quick. All right. Number one is to give joyfully. Have fun doing it. Like you always love. The reason why we love having Megan in our meetings and stuff is because she is a barrel of fun. Way more fun than any of us on campus. And so we could be doing a budget meeting, which is terribly not fun. But she can come in there and make it the funnest meeting you've ever been a part of. Like, she's going to tell stories and bring you cookies and drinks and all kinds of stuff, and she's going to make the budget meeting just as fun as you possibly can. It reminds me actually of the first budget meeting I did with Macy, because she was all like hunky-dory, like, hey, we got a budget meeting. And she didn't know that I was actually going to restrict like how much she could spend. She didn't know that was part of the budget meeting. And she's like, oh. And she had everything laid out, all beautiful. And it was so fun. I loved it, because she actually did make it fun. She just didn't realize we had to stop spending money. But anyways, give joyfully. Acts 20 says this. It says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that blessed word in the Greek translates to being happy. Like, the happiest person I know is the one who is generous. Now, you guys, as a church, let me just tell you, you guys blow this out of the water. You guys are so generous. I know so many of you guys and the stories of how generous you've been to somebody, stories like we heard this morning where any one of our brothers and sisters are going through a tough time, we just don't let them go through that tough time. No, we get around them and we rally around them. That's that whole principle and that value of, that we say of doing life together, where we go in there and we help these guys. But you guys have done everything from washers and dryers and all that kind of stuff. You know, with that veterans building that we've done recently, y'all gave, I got to get the number, but it was a massive amount of washers and dryers that went into that place to get those veterans up and running. Love being a part of that. When you see that life thing happen on the inside of people. Do y'all know that y'all gave away 3 cars last year? Y'all, not us, y'all. Y'all gave away 3 cars. Y'all said, hey, you know what, I'm done with this car, but instead of selling it, yeah, I can sell it for some profit. But instead of selling it, you know, there's probably somebody in the church that could really benefit from it. That's so generous. And when you talk about being a part of something like that, where we partner with you guys, when you have the heart of that and you say, hey, is there anybody in the church that could benefit from this? Absolutely. And when you're a part of giving somebody a car, you talk about giving joyfully. It is the funnest thing in the world to see the look on somebody's face when they don't know how they're going to get through this season. They're praying to God, God, you've got to change my world. You've got to change this situation. And their mind gets blown when God blesses them way more than they ever thought. Their storehouses literally overflow when they get the gift of anything. But in these situations, this car, it is so fun to be able to partner with, and it's so much fun to do it. 2 Corinthians 9 says this, says that God loves when the giver delights in the giving. God loves when it's a cheerful giver. Proverbs 21 says it this way. It says, some people are always greedy for more, but the godly, see, we're known for something different. The godly love to give. So we give joyfully. It's the heart behind the whole thing. Number 2 is give selflessly. Another way to say that is to give your best. If you go back to the story of the Corinthian church, in verse 5 of that chapter, it says this. It says, and they did not do as we expected, but they gave of themselves. Like, I think the reason that I enjoy generosity so much is because internally I feel like it's tied to kind of who I am. It's tied to when I do it, it's a part of me that I feel like I'm kind of giving. And it's exactly really what God did for each and every single one of us. And let me be clear here. When God was generous to us, he didn't write a check. What did he do? He gave us his one and only son. For God so loved the world that he gave of himself. He gave of himself. He gave the best part of himself, right? And when I think about this whole concept of giving selflessly, there's a couple that immediately comes to mind, and I just want to shout them out because they're actually serving this weekend, but it's Lawrence and Clarissa Harps. They're a weekend director of mine, and they have been with me from the start. I mean, I've been doing guest services. Yeah, you got them right there. They've been doing guest services for over 9. Absolutely. Give them a hand. Give them a hand. Come on, let's give it a little louder. Let them know they're out there serving you guys right now, creating an amazing atmosphere. Give it up for them. They do an amazing, I love those guys, the heart of who they are. If you add up all the hours, all the resources, all the money that they spent towards that, I guarantee you they could have one of the most amazing entrepreneurship businesses that you've ever seen, because they've literally given their life to this thing. But instead of doing that, they said, you know what, God, you have wired me in such a way that there is leadership, there's influence in us as a couple, and we want to give that to people. You have so richly blessed us that combine that with just a heart for people. They genuinely love you guys. And so their gift is operating in the fullness because they are, every single weekend, they are looking for ways to create an atmosphere, to create a place where you guys can have the most amazing church to come to. And so they give selflessly. And that made me get on a journey of thinking, gosh, you know what? There's so many people like that, that so generously give that we benefit from that we may not even know. I guarantee you guys have benefited from their ministry and you never even knew their face, never even knew their name. You know, if you think about even this place as a church, this church is built off of the foundation of another generation's generosity. And I'm so glad they poured their blood, sweat, and tears into this place 30 years ago when they were in a house, just six of them, not thinking that they were going to have all this. But man, I am so glad I'm a part of the generation where I can drink off the generosity of that generation. Amen? It's amazing to be able to be here in a place. Yeah, absolutely. To be in a place where we can have those relationships, where we can grow closer to God and be on this journey that God has us on. I'm so thankful for them. I'm also thankful for, you know, you take a look at the children's ministry. You know, right now, I'm up here because they're watching my kids. They're loving up on my kids. They're loving, they're praying over them. They're singing over them. They're having fun with them. And this service would look a little different if I was holding my two twins and Baylor on my leg. It just would look a little odd. I wouldn't be able to get much done because all the thing we could talk about is how handsome they are and all the little fun stories that we'd have. We'd be walking around like this and him going, Dad, 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 come here, play with me. And he'd have his monster tricks. So I'm so thankful that they allow every single one of us to enjoy these weekends where not only are we able to enjoy church, but it's a group of people, and I see so many Sea Kids shirts out here. And I'm so thankful for you guys because I know that without a shadow of a doubt, those kids are loved up on. And they're having so much fun back there because they're passionate. God has put a gift inside of them around kids, and they're operating in their gift. It's just amazing. I absolutely love it. Number three, give willingly. Give willingly. In other words, I do it because I want to. I want to. On the inside, 2 Corinthians 8 with our story, verse 12. For if the willingness is there, that's when the gift is acceptable. If the willingness on the inside, because I want to, if that's the willingness is there, that's when the gift is acceptable. Take a look at this video real quick of a guy who, because of his willingness to be generous, he had no idea that even people were watching or that he could make an impact. Take a look.
It was a simple act of kindness caught in a picture and gone viral on Facebook. Our person of the week is known among his friends, coworkers, and customers as someone who will do just about anything to help others. He performs many acts of kindness daily. But something he did recently touched thousands of people.
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
In an Ingalls grocery store in Silva, there works a man who's developed a reputation.
Everything going all right?
Courtesy comes with the job, but for Anthony Stevens...
Y'all find everything okay today?
It comes naturally.
That's who he is. That's his being. It's not an act.
I mean, he's as genuine as the day is long.
You need anything, let us know.
And anyone who knows him will tell you Anthony is known for more than just gracious greetings.
How you doing today, ma'am?
I see a lot of acts of kindness from him.
But what he did for a customer recently, an elderly woman who comes in every week on a transit bus.
It's hard for her to get around. You know, she always walks with a cane.
Even she didn't expect it.
She discovered when she got here she didn't have enough money to buy the milk, and the trolley left.
And the transit, it won't be back for 3 or 4 hours. And she said, I'm just going to walk. I'll just walk home.
Anthony knew she was in no condition.
I said, I can't let you do that. So I turned to my CSM and I said, Kalina, I'm gonna take her home real quick. So I escorted her out to the car.
And he did one other thing.
He said, come on out and I'll just, let's get your milk. And I'll buy your milk and then I'll take you home.
He's like, okay, we're not going to let you walk home. And so he puts his arm out. She puts her little arm through his and they go walking out. And I snapped the picture.
A simple act of kindness captured on a coworker's camera as Anthony and the woman left the store together.
He had no idea that there'd been a picture.
That picture got a big reaction. Linda posted it on Facebook, and within a few days, the number of likes and shares numbered up to 3,000.
I was shocked. I mean, I didn't think this was... Well, one, I didn't even know about the picture until about 8 o'clock, 8:30, something like that that night.
Some may ask why. Why such a strong reaction to a simple gesture of goodness and giving? Some of his friends, like his former teacher, Linda Haggard, have an idea.
I think Anthony and his actions are in the minority today. I think we all are in a hustle-bustle kind of mentality. Sometimes we simply just don't see the need is there, but Anthony does.
I think we hear enough of the bad. It was just such a touching picture and a touching moment, and then the story to go along with it.
Maybe it's the kind of story we don't hear often enough.
Just come on back. We'll take care of you, okay?
Little acts of kindness that go a long way to make us feel hopeful.
How are you?
Or maybe they happen right in front of us, but we just don't see them.
Because we're always in a hurry, and we always have things to do.
On that day, Anthony Stevens had things to do. He just set them aside for something a little more important.
I could take a picture every day of Anthony doing something nice. Every day.
Yeah. What I love about him, and I think you kind of picked it up in that video, is that wasn't just the one thing that he did. It was a part of who he was. And I noticed that the one lady said, you know, this isn't just the one time he's done this. I could literally take a picture of him every day. And that's what I love is when it gets on the inside, it literally just seeps out of us. And that's when it becomes, when it gets that thick inside of you of you're looking for opportunities, you're looking for ways that you can create value and just wow somebody. That's when that scripture comes alive, that we are marked by something different. That's that salt and light of the world that people just aren't used to seeing anymore. You know, we live in a fast-paced world, but also take advantage, you know, of the goodness of our social media style side. You know, I love, you know, to be able to send those text messages out when you're thinking about somebody. Or take advantage of the Instagram and the Facebook when somebody gets on your head, on your mind. And we know we're tied to it. You know you're going to see it on their phone as soon as you do it. But take the time to go ahead and do that kind of stuff because I'm telling you, it makes a tremendous impact and you never know what it's going to do in somebody's life. Now you say, Dave, I love it. I love this topic. I think, you know, good on you. I love that you're passionate about it. Yeah, this is great. I just don't know if that's me, you know? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if I'm the nicest person in the world. You know what I'm saying? I just don't know if I can do this. Well, the great thing about it, Scripture says you can do something about it. You want to know how you do something about it? Is you pray. You pray. You take it to God. And you say, God, I want to change. I want to make this a part of it. And I'm going to use this as an example through the lens of generosity. But I want you to know that this goes for every aspect of your life. If there's anything that you're wanting to grow in, if there's anything that you need breakthrough in, if there's really anything that you need to make your life better, take it to God in prayer, and I promise you he will answer. And if you're that person out there, you say, well, I don't know that this is me. I can guarantee if you do a prayer, something similar to what I'm getting ready to lead you through, within 30 days, I want you to come find me because there is no way that you're going to be the same person that you did when you started this 30 days ago. You're going to come find a day, and all of a sudden, you're just going to say, hey, you know what? I'm actually thinking about people. Doggone if I don't want to open some more doors. You know, so it happens. And so I want to lead you through it real quick. I want everybody to repeat after me. Say, Lord, allow my heart to look more like you. Help me be a more generous person. Give me the willingness to give. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you pray something like that, and I guarantee you it'll change your life. Now, you got to be careful what you pray for. You got to be careful. Because as a kid, I thought it was the greatest thing in the world to sneeze. I thought it was so much fun. I thought it was just great. So I took it to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I want to sneeze. I love it. Let me sneeze a lot in one day. Just let me do it. God, I'm not kidding you. I counted 96 times in one day that I sneezed. It was ridiculous. You got to be careful what you pray for. So I had to go back to God and say, listen, appreciate you answering. Loving it all, but can we back it down to maybe a little bit more of a normal level? You know, I still sneeze a lot. Now, I'm not your two-time a sneezer, like, you know, choo-choo, you know. I'm like your 4 and 5. Like, I'm a healthy sneezer. So you got to be careful what you pray for because he answers. All right? And let me do one other thing is I know as we're getting back into school, we're getting back into the groove, we're getting back into our routines, we're waking up on time, we're going to bed on time. And not a knock towards summer because I love summer. I love everything that there is about it. I love the vacations. I love the extra beach stays. And it's just busy. We got a lot of stuff that we're doing. And what happens naturally in many of us is we start to wean off a little bit in our relationship. We start to wean off in the amount of time that we spend towards devotion with God. We kind of wean off a little bit in our prayer time with God. And so let me encourage you, I'd love to invite you to prayer nights because if there's anything that you're really believing for, I really take this time of year, this August time period, is almost like a second beginning. You know, every January, we get real zealous about these, you know, the things that we want to accomplish and really go after for this year. And it's almost like we run the course and, you know, as time goes on throughout a year, it's like it kind of slows down a little bit, right? You know, I think we're all guilty of that a little bit. But then August comes around, and we start getting back into this routine. I think that's when it happens. And so let me invite you to, because I can guarantee you of anything that you're going to do, that hour, A, will go very fast. But B, I can promise when you walk out of those doors, you're going to feel different. You're going to feel reignited. If there's something that you're really wanting to take to the Lord, come, bring it to them, because I tell you, I'm seeing some people who come to prayer nights on a regular time, they're just shaking their heads going, yes, they want you to be able to touch that whole thing. And so let me just tell you, I would love to invite you on that. It's every Saturday at 6 o'clock. And we're going to run you through the whole thing. We have great worship music that kind of goes during that time period. And we'll set off for you. We'll give you the vision of what we're kind of believing for as a church and some things that we really want you guys to pray for and what we're believing. But we'll also give time for you guys to pray for all the stuff that you're believing for. Know that when you write those prayer requests on a connection card, those are prayed for by hand, by an individual. So we are covering you guys when you put those in there. So thank you for doing that. Love to have you in there. But are you starting to get the internal motivation behind generosity, what God was after? We're going after this whole thing of giving joyfully and selflessly and willingly. And number four is we give thankfully. We give thankfully. You know, every single time one of us gives or is generous or gives the offering or gives the tithe, all that kind of stuff, it really is just an expression of worship. It really is. It really is. Like one of the most generous couples I think that I know in this church, of everything that they do, they are so generous in their tithing, they're so generous in their offering, they don't miss an opportunity to be able to do that. But more importantly, what I love about them is they are so passionate about their generosity towards serving. And what I love about them is there's this internal motivation of this whole giving thankfully, because they know, they believe in this whole verse out of 1 Chronicles where it says, everything comes from God. Everything comes from you, God. And we have given only what comes from your hand. And they know that they are so richly blessed that the biggest thing that they want to do is they want to give it to other people. They want to be a blessing to other people and create value inside of you guys. And so they serve you guys literally almost every single weekend. And I just love the heart of a person like that. Psalms 116 says this, how can I repay the Lord for all the goodness that he has been to me? And the answer is you can't. You can't repay him. But all we can do as an individual, as a Christian, all we can do is we can try our best to express it back to him. We can give him our time. We can give him our resources. We can give him our home, our yard. Everything that we can do, we can give it back to him and hope for an expression that to repay him for all the goodness that he is, because we are so, so thankful. Because at the end of the day, I am thankful because of the blessing that God is in my life. The fact that he plucked me out where I was and saved me is a huge deal. I think everybody can say a good amen when you realize the fact that God plucked you out from wherever you were in your past and you are where you are today. Amen? Amen. All right, so we give thankfully. Last one here is we give intentionally. We give intentionally. Every time around this time period of the year, Macy and I get real intentional, and we sit down at some point and we talk about, okay, what do we want to do this year? And I think we do it during this time period because it's coming around Thanksgiving, it's coming around Christmas, and it's naturally just a more giving season, right? So we get down to the nitty-gritty details of how much do we want to give? We want a dollar amount. I want a dollar amount of how much, as a family, do we want to be a blessing? And so we talk about that kind of stuff. You know, I have a heart for servers. And so a lot of years, we try to center it around, how can we bless somebody this year? We want to go over and aboard, and when we feel like God is prompting us, we want to be able to over and abundantly bless those people. How can we give to our friends? How can we give to our families? And so we get real intentional about the things. And so I want to encourage you, the Bible gives us a really good filter to work towards, which is, in Scripture, be generous, be intentional for eternity. Tie it to this eternal purpose of what God is calling for, because at the end of the day, that is our calling. When we are marked by that different thing of generosity, we can give it to people. We can become that salt and light. That's the intentionality. When we don't let those opportunities pass by, but we seize every opportunity that we can get. Now, I'm getting ready to close, but before I do, I want to show you one last video that I couldn't go without showing you, because I think, one, I just loved it, but I think we overlook the thing sometimes of how something we can think is just simple from us, but truly the huge impact that it can have on somebody's life. Take a look real quick and then I'll close.